Welcome to the Love and Light Podcast,
powered by 103.9 WDKX,
with your hosts, Lovely Warren and Willie Lightfoot.
This is the Love and Light Podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the Love and Light Podcast, powered by 103.9 WDKX.
Yes.
And we're so excited to be back. If you have not been caught up on what we've been talking about, we've had some exciting topics.
Yes.
And of course, episode 3 was about really they're just kids and sitting down and
that
talking
one was
to your
hot.
Kids, right?
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of feedback on that.
A lot of feedback.
A lot of people were concerned about how, you know, if we're in those situations with our families, how do we get help? Where do we call? What do we do? And so we wanted to come back, recap kind of a little bit about that conversation because it's so heavy. Nothing I think is more sensitive than our children.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, absolutely. You know, we'd be ready to pull off the put on the gloves and, you know what I'm saying,
yes,
take the coats
yes,
off and people ready to get serious when it come about these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we wanted to give y'all some information on those who were listening to that last show. We do have a person in crisis team here locally in that number. Basically, you can call 211. If you call 211, you can get information on how to access various numbers. Even the national numbers through that 211 number will get you information regarding different counseling services, different crises. If you're going through different crises or situations mm-hmm. and circumstances, 24/7, that number is available for individuals. So for those of you that are local, we want to draw your attention to that 211 number.
Oh, absolutely, because we had a lot of people ask the question, so how do I get help for my children? What's
right.
happening in the community that allows me to have outreach with them or get them the support and services that they need? And so if you're located in the Rochester, New York area, please call 211. And there are also some national providers that could help you as well if you're not located here, because we want everyone to get the support and the help that they need. And so today we're going to be talking about, so we have some exciting things coming up.
We had a good weekend. I heard you had a good weekend, right?
Yes.
Did you go to the Black Heritage event?
Yes, I did go to the Black Heritage event, and we had it was so powerful to see who I affectionately call Madam President,
yes,
Loretta
well,
C.
my
Scott,
former boss, yeah.
you know, get the mm-hmm. Lifetime Achievement recognition
Dope.
For her great work that she's
Absolutely.
Done in the community and working with several different mayors.
Yes.
And so it was really, really nice to be able
Brittany,
to give people their flowers while
yeah,
they're here.
Yeah,
yep,
Brittany
yep.
Wells got
up.
Michelle Daniels, my
yes.
good friend. We go
uh-huh.
way. We go back to MCC when I was president of Black Student Union, and we put on probably one of the best shows MCC has ever had, the Apollo Night at MCC on a storm. On
and,
a day
you know,
we had,
she be still doing that dancing and all that type of stuff. So I could only imagine.
Oh, you know, it was crazy.
Uh-huh.
Michelle she is something else. Kudos to all of those who receive awards, as well as the twins. I know the past weekend prior to the end, they also receive some recognition. And, you know, we talk about the things that we love. And, you know, so we want to make sure that we're giving flowers to people, you know, while mm-hmm. they're around. That's something that we really dear about in this show as well, too. But, you know, when we talk about other people, though, we're Black history, too. We're Black heritage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're doing some great things.
Absolutely.
And so we want to talk about some of the stuff that we love, and you're doing some amazing stuff.
So before we transition.
I hope we have time, because we got a lot,
I definitely want to give kudos to Brittany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who is, of course, my partner at
yes.
W Suite. LLC, and you know, has been a great not only supporter but champion for the Rochester community when she was chair of the Monroe County Democratic Committee,
Indeed.
As well as you know, chief of staff. And you know, she also worked for DCCC, which is the Democratic Congressional campaign arm of the DNC of the Democrats nationally for Congress. But as we go on, definitely want to also big up 1199 Zola Brown. Was recognized
Zola!
As well.
And, Queen Zola.
You know, she has done a lot as it pertains to the union movement
mm-hmm.
and all those things.
Former 19th Ward president.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
former 19th Ward.
My hood.
Uh-huh,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Dolores from Baden Street,
yes,
who was in charge of providing meals, Dolores Walker.
Yes.
So it was a lot of people that was honored, and it was great to be back in the excellence, or Black excellence, as I would say,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we couldn't have an event for 3 years and then be back and have those people get their flowers while they're still here was always important. So, you know, definitely want to recognize that.
Dope. Dope. Well, you know, once again, as I was saying, we are Black heritage too.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, we've been getting a lot of feedback. I know you have. I've been getting a lot of feedback about this show. A lot of people are requesting certain things that they want us to talk about. And it seems like everybody wants to go back to politics. Well, I don't understand why they want to go back to politics, but everybody wants to go back to politics. Hopefully we get into a little bit before we get off the show. People are asking us our why. And our how did we get involved in politics? Why did we get involved? What's our why? Hopefully we'll get into that before we end the show. I don't know if we have time, but we got so much to talk about today. But, you know, we want to talk about some of the things that we love, you know. And one of the things I know that we both love is we enjoy helping this community. We want to thank Andre from the owner of WDKX. And once again, you're joining us at the Love and Light Podcast. It's powered by 103.9 WDKX. But you got to tell us about this amazing stuff that you're getting involved with that's coming to the community soon. And it's really dope. And I'm literally.
So there's been a lot of questions about this upcoming expungement event that's happening here in Rochester on 420. And I want to recognize, you know, State Senator Jeremy Cooney, who, you know, said, hey, we need to do this event on 420. On April 20th. You know, so we have a lot of people that have, you know, records, criminal mm-hmm. records that mm-hmm. Are trying to rebuild their lives here in our community.
Right.
And there have been some new laws that have been put in place over the last couple years that allows different people, no matter what crime they've been committed of. Let me say that if you haven't been convicted of a violent felony.
Right.
Or a misdemeanor in the last 10 years, you are eligible for possible expungement.
Okay, now back up, because, you know, some of us didn't go to the big schools you went to and
oh, really?
Have all these degrees and all that. You're talking about sponges and expunge and all that. I don't, you know, what does that mean? What does expungement mean?
So basically it's to get your record wiped clean, your criminal record wiped clean. And so those records will be sealed and taken off. So when someone does a criminal background search,
mm-hmm.
these particular convictions will not appear.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a part of the law that if you got convicted with a marijuana offense, then your record would automatically be expunged. And so if there's certain marijuana offenses that they will go and they have gone into the computer and they just automatically put in that particular law and delete basically anyone that was convicted of that particular law.
So how is this different between, shout out to, you know, former Councilman Adam McFadden from Ban the Box. How is this different from Ban the Box? Because, you know, at one point we were hearing conversations about people can't ask you, have you been convicted of a felony or et cetera? And then that can't be a barrier to you receiving a job. So the expungement, Ban the Box, how do those work or how are they different?
Ban the Box is basically you've gone to apply for a job and someone is asking you even before they interview you, mm-hmm. have you been convicted of a crime?
Mm-hmm.
This expungement actually deals with the record in the criminal justice system.
So it doesn't even exist anymore.
Right, in the state system, right? Mm. So basically, if you've been convicted of a crime and certain crimes, then you are possibly eligible for what we consider to be expungement.
Mm-hmm.
Certain marijuana convictions is automatic expungement.
Wow.
But there are other convictions that are nonviolent
mm-hmm.
that might have been a felony, and a misdemeanor. If you haven't had one in 10 years, then you possibly eligible for expungement then. So even if it was not marijuana, so you need to make sure that you come to the event.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 420 at Urban Euphoria. It's 25 South Washington Street.
Okay.
It's located in the city of Rochester. So
okay. It's
25
downtown.
South Washington Street.
Right.
But in order for it to be most effective for you, even mm-hmm. though we'll have a lot of information, we'll have community partners, and we have a lot of people that have joined on board to be a part of it.
Sure.
It's for the individual, for the person, it's going to be good if you come with your record in hand. So with New York State, we need to have your record in hand to be able to fill out and help you fill out that paperwork that you'll need to fill out. We'll have lawyers. I have a number of lawyers. I want to give a shout out to Greg Salmon and, you know, Jason Bost and you know, Law New York, JPC. All of these people have agreed to be a part
of
this.
How much does it cost?
No, it's actually free.
It doesn't cost anything.
No, it doesn't cost anything. And it doesn't cost you anything to get your fingerprints if you go through JPC. And now, so
let me ask you this. So this is a new law. This is part of a new law that's been for the last couple of years. It's not something that's going to happen automatically. So you can't just sit home.
It might.
Okay, it might.
If you have certain marijuana convictions.
Okay, yeah. So it may happen automatically. It may not. But if you have certain convictions, you know, you have nonviolent criminal past and you've been looking for a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, whatever. Right. And, you know, you've been waiting for that opportunity. This is that sounds like this is that opportunity.
Yeah. Come and check us out. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're going to be there at Urban Euphoria from 11 to 6 p.m. And we're going to try to help as many people as we can. And, you know, we want people to know, even if you just have a question or anything like that, to come and be a part of the event and let us help you try to help those loved ones that you have, help yourself or help your loved one. I know that a number of people have been calling, you know, WDKX about the event. And so, you know, I want to talk about expungement, but also we're going to be there with certificate, you know, helping people get their certificate of release of disabilities.
Now you be talking fast. You be talking that lawyer stuff. People can't understand all this lingo. Back up a minute and just now tell me what that is.
So a certificate of release of disabilities means that basically you are reformed, right?
Okay.
So you got convicted of a crime and now you may not be eligible for expungement, but you are eligible for a certificate of release, which goes, it's like a, it's a document that the judge that convicted you signs.
The county, some kind of way, the Board of Elections, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, do they work hand in hand with that? Because I know that there a lot of people, from my understanding, people think that because they have a felony that they can't vote. And that's not true.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah, people can actually.
As long as you're off papers,
yep.
You are eligible to actually vote in the state of New York. And so, when we're going out registering people, we always ask, you know, people say, oh, I can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And then they go ahead and tell you, and you're like, no, yes, you can. You can register. And people never knew that they could. And that's, you know, that's an old myth that you can't vote in New York State if you have a felony conviction.
And I believe there's some type of certificate. That's why I asked that question about Board of Elections, try to connect those, because I believe there's some type of letter or something that you also can receive from the Board of Elections when you go down and you show the proper paperwork. So there's the expungement, there's the certificate of release, and then there's those who are able to vote.
And certificate of good conduct. There's a lot of different opportunities for people that have been convicted of crimes and are going through the process of reform. So certificate of good conduct, expungement, certificate of release of disabilities, and each of those are you going back before the court to say, hey, listen, I was convicted of this particular crime. However, I am reformed or I haven't done anything in this number of years. And I'm asking the court to grant me a certificate of release. And when you go to actually apply for different jobs, or it may not, you know, if your record is expunged, it may not come up at all.
So that leads me to what I was talking about. I was just having this conversation in church, actually this weekend, that people often think that your environment does not have to dictate, or your past and or environment does not have to dictate your future. So people oftentimes like, oh, I got in this trouble. I'm going to be behind the eight ball my entire life. I'm not going to be able to have the type of opportunities that other people have. That is absolutely not true. Just because you may have a past record, just because, you may have gone through some challenges in your life, does not mean that your environment, your past environment can dictate your current and present future. There are opportunities out here where, you know, you can take advantage of these
Absolutely.
Processes.
It's about redemption. It's about not being you know, not finishing where you start. Mm. It's about, you know, having the opportunity to now take care of your families. Like one of the programs that, you know, we of course started, you know, with the city was the Young Adults Manufacturing Training and Employment Program, the ReJob program.
Right.
You know, you talked about Band the Box, you talked about all these different things, but, you know, it was truly about giving people a second lease on life. And, you know, this particular expungement event, it's the first of this kind I know of in the city of Rochester where we will actually be on site actually filling out paperwork. And that's why it's going to be very important if you come to the event for it to be most effective for you with getting your expungement event, getting your record.
How does one get the record? Because that's a process in itself. Like if I want to get my record, what processes do I need to take? How long does that take? Do I have time to get my record now to get ready for the event? And how would I do that?
So you would go to Judicial Process Commission. Mm-hmm. I would ask you to call 325-7727.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will walk you through the process of actually giving you a voucher to go and get your, when I say that it's free, you know, Air Wellness, one of our clients has paid for people to actually be able to get their fingerprints up front.
Oh, because typically there's a cost
to getting it.
Right. So which could be a barrier for some.
If you go through JPC, mm-hmm. then that cost is waived.
So that's, I think the important thing is, especially with the work that, you know, we love to do in this community, and one of the things that we always recognize when we're doing this work are the barriers that are oftentimes there, especially when it comes to us as people of color. You know, we have to run it faster, we have to go to more schools, we have to take more classes, we have to jump higher, you know, and we always realize that there typically, historically, have been barriers that have been placed before us. And we are intentional when we're doing events to try to remove as many of those barriers as possible so that our folks can take advantage of the opportunities that are available to them like this here. I like the fact that Washington Street, that seems to me, is downtown. It's on the bus line. Huge barrier of transportation, especially for our seniors and older people. The barriers of transportation is real. I like the fact that you're giving out vouchers. So individuals who may not, you know, we're living in a very, you know, we're talking about a recession and some would say we're already there. People, financial situations are really tough right now. Everything's going up except for people's income, expenses of everything, food, clothing, you know, all of these things are rising, but people's income are the same. So you're giving out vouchers so individuals don't have to worry about, oh, I got my paperwork, I got everything, but then I can't afford to get the fingerprints. I can't afford to get down there. I don't have transportation. And then, you know, on top of that, you're giving out the information on how to get something that's critical to them, which is their copy of their record. Because I can have all those other things. I can get there. I got the voucher, but I don't have my record. And so now I'm stuck again, and I'm disappointed seeing everybody else who may have theirs get what they need, but then I can't get what I need. And so that, you know, you're taking away a lot of barriers, and I really appreciate that.
You know, mm-hmm. it's all about trying to assist and help people in the community. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that this event is truly about that, and we hope to have a great turnout. And once again, I would ask people to call JPC at 325-7727, area code 585. You're listening to the Love and Light podcast, powered by 103.9 WDKX. And, you know, as we're talking about things that are happening in the community,
things we love,
you know, and you brought up, you know, about seniors and, you know, there's a lot that's happening with seniors. And I know that there's some work that you've been doing with our senior citizens and, you know, they're a population that often goes overlooked, you know, because people feel like, okay, well, you know, they have everything that they need, but mm-hmm. our seniors are really, really struggling. When we say our seniors, we're mm-hmm. talking about our most seasoned folks. Our most, you know, our folks that have wisdom and knowledge and experience,
uh-huh.
you know, our you know, and I'm not going to put an age out
we won't. We won't. But we may put an age just because you're talking about the work, that particular specific work. And yes, we are doing some things around our seniors. We see here, we have a large, in most communities, of course, have a large senior population. And one of the things we're also seeing is that, you know, a lot of our seniors are transitioning. You know, they're up there in age. Our baby boomers, our the Vietnam folks, and you know, we really are looking at seeing these individuals, you know, over 80, and we're seeing them transition. And I feel like, you know, this is a time.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about in the last year, we lost some great
I've been
seniors,
to six
right?
funerals in 3 weeks.
Are you serious?
I've been to six funerals in 3 weeks.
And you know, Bishop McGill mm-hmm. just passed away.
Right. Rest
you know?
In peace to Bishop McGill and his family, the church family.
Yes.
Our prayers are with you guys. Minister Franklin Florence, we know we just recently had that situation there with his transition and his ongoing service. So, yeah, I mean, so I guess what well, for our generation, I see this as an opportunity for us. We need to be doing all we can to connect with our seniors,
mm-hmm.
To bridge that generational gap. Because once they're gone, to me, and this is, I say this and people oftentimes go, what does that mean? But I say this. We're kind of the last generation that can touch slavery. And what I mean by that is our grand and great grandparents' parents were slaves, and we can talk to them. Like my great aunt, I can talk to my great aunt, and she can tell me about slavery, the effects and impacts of it that she physically actually saw and was there. We're getting ready to lose that generation
mm-hmm.
that has that knowledge that to me. As terrible as that was.
That's like far removed, right?
It's not.
It's not. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago. Like all these things, and people think like, oh, well, we're out of it. But, you know, and okay, I won't go off in a ditch because you
know. No, you got to go. I want to go there. No, let's go there. Let's go there.
Right?
No, let's go there.
So, you know.
That's real.
We talk about certain things that's happening right now,
mm-hmm.
right? People are trying to bring back Jim Crow,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to rewrite history.
That's right.
They're trying to act like the things that happened to black folks didn't really happen to us.
That's right.
And, you know, this is a national sort of movement. And we better pay attention to this stuff,
For
right?
2022, I remember one of the National League of Cities events they had, you know, we go to those events that they have. And I went to one that was in Memphis. And I remember this was a few years ago. And I remember going, I went through their Civil Rights Museum, which is real powerful. It's not as big as the one in D.C., but it's very powerful, very touching. And to hear stories. Now, I was being told there, and that was a couple of years ago, that they just had a town there that was just, you know, banning segregation. And we know recently that we've had legislation just passed where it's illegal now to hang people of color in 2022 or 2023.
Right. Right.
That law was just passed.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get in that ditch, though, I'm going to say this now. So, yes, we, you know, I wear several hats and we have, you know, we always talk about that. We talked about it in one of our shows that we have many talents and gifts. And one of the gifts that I've been fortunate to be blessed is pastoring is one of the things that I'm doing now for the last 2 years. And so at our church, at Prayer House Church of God by Faith, 270 Cumberland Street, next to the old post office, we're providing reduced, basically almost free, hot lunches for seniors 60 and above. All right. So as long as they fit the requirements of 60 and above through this program's offered through the County of Monroe, we're a senior center. We provide meals basically free. There's a suggested donation of $350, but if they can't afford to pay, they don't have to pay. excuse me. And it's $750 for those who do not fit the criteria. Skills can still come and eat, but they would have to pay $750. But our seniors are mostly free. They come for every Tuesday and Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1. We're providing those free lunches to those seniors. And it's fun food and fellowship. We're coming together. We get to sit down with our seniors, play games with them, talk to them, listen to their stories. And many of them, they want to get out of the house. They want to have something to do.
They need an opportunity to talk, to fellowship, to be with, you know, other folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they probably haven't seen in a while. You know, they're just really, really excited about just being there amongst their friends and getting a hot meal. So you said this is on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Every Tuesday and Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., hot lunch served. Once again, suggested donations, but if folks can't afford it, we're not turning anybody away. If you're 60 and above, please come and check us out. 270 Cumberland Street, Prayer House Church of God by Faith. Also, we're working, and I'm very fortunate. We soon will have a bus coming. I'm going to be a bus driver. I'm studying for my CDL.
Oh my
I'm trying to get my CDL license now. So I'm pulling up. I'm pulling up. Pastor pulling up on you in the bus, all aboard. It's going down this summer. It's going down. We're going to be picking up our seniors from the various senior facilities.
And
Danforth.
We can't forget about
they feel, because that's how they feel.
You know what
I'm telling you. I'm listening
to
them.
Can't forget about
they
them.
They feel like they've forgotten. And we don't want to forget. They look, they paved the way for us.
Absolutely.
We're standing on
so many shoulders.
Yeah, without them, we would be nothing. And eventually, when they go off the scene, we're going to that all that knowledge, wisdom, that moral compass and value.
Sit, I mean, I would encourage adults, you know, rather your adults or even young people, sit at the feet of your grandparents and your seniors and get that information.
Most people, when I came into this church, into this particular job, a lot of folks were like, well, you know, those people are very seasoned. I don't, you know, most people want a church full of young people. I saw it as an opportunity. I said, I'm excited because I got grandma and granddaddy numb on my side. When you got grandma and granddaddy numb praying for you, you got something going.
Those prayers go somewhere,
They going somewhere because they've been doing it for a long time.
You know that you're going to have that.
I see the blessing and well, we talk about our youth. We're on both sides of the spectrum. So, you know, last show we talked a lot about our young people and families. But, you know, now, you know, we're saying, hey, you know, our seniors are oftentimes they need just as much as support and care for during these times as well, too. So, you know, if you know a senior on your community, in your neighborhood, in your family, check on them. Check on them. Just give them a call.
But that number that you gave out earlier, 211, also, you know, if you, you know, for senior meals, for Meals on Wheels, for, you know, help with elder elder support. You know, there's a lot of different programs that also pay family caregivers to provide services to seniors as well. And so there's a lot of stuff that are out there for families to be able to help those most seasoned among us, because we want them to know that we care about them, that we love them, that we want them to, you know, that we appreciate the sacrifices that they've made, right?
Absolutely.
And so for all those people we talk about, you know, all these people that have gone on to glory, like your father, Assemblyman David Gant, you know, my grandfather, you know, Cecil McCleary, all these things, and you know, they're no longer with us, but we do have a lot of our seniors that are still here with us that can provide that information, provide that guidance, provide that knowledge, and giving them a space to come together, to sit down, to have a meal, a warm meal with other folks that are, you know, like them, that they can relate to, that have been through the same experiences with them. That has to be commended. And I know you have to feel good about that.
I feel great about it. I mean, we talk about the things that we love. We love helping our community. And what better place to be in to help the folks who have been around the longest, who, like, with all the things that you just said. And, you know, also, like we said about our youth, like, you got to be willing to listen to what they say, too. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know,
Nailman's words.
Grandma and granddaddy gonna keep it real too. Now we gotta be able to listen to what they say too, and I guarantee you one thing, you ain't gonna be talking back to them as well too.
Right.
So
right.
You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve our seniors. We want all of our seniors to know you're not forgotten. We love you, and we're doing everything that we can to try to make sure that we're advocating for our seniors and for the types of things that they need. But I'm telling you, time and time again, as I go throughout this community and folks are talking about the show, everybody want to know, how did y'all get in connected with the politics? How did y'all get involved? What's y'all why? Why do y'all keep doing this type of work? And I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't think we're going to have time today, but
touch on a little bit.
Yeah.
We can touch on a little bit and then we can, you know, come back to it. I say for me, it was divine intervention, right?
Amen.
It had to be divine. And when I say divine, it's, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And so it was putting me in the right places at the right time, and having the opportunity to work with Assemblyman David Gant and, you know, see, you know, the sacrifices and the things that they went through to even, you know, create the seat. For him to have running, right? So it wasn't like, you know, people was like, oh yeah, Rochester, you don't have a black representative, so let's draw a seat, you know, to make sure that you know, a community that has a significant, you know, population of people of color will have representation in Albany. It wasn't like that, right? They actually, you know, when we think about all the things that, you know, our seniors that have gone on, like Mr. Langston from WDKX and, you know, and Minister Franklin Florence and Assemblyman David Gant, it was because of their work, right? It was because of the things that they, working together, were able to accomplish, right?
So hold on, you're listening to the Love and Light podcast, where we talk about the things that we love and we shine light on the things that nobody else wants to talk about, powered by 103.9 WDKX. But before we get all the way in that ditch, what you're saying is our story started with somebody else's story.
Absolutely.
Our story started exactly what we were just finished talking about with our seniors. It started for us standing on the shoulders of somebody else. You talk about.
But they stuck together,
yes,
right?
Yes.
To get things done, right? So it wasn't about who was doing the work.
And who got the credit.
And who got the credit. It was always about, let's do what we need to do for the betterment of the community. And all these things were born out of it, right? WDKX was born out of it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We think about, you know, even having a representative from the city of Rochester that was able to serve for 40 plus years was born out of it. You know, Fight organization was born out of it.
Swan was born out of it, which helped so many. I run into people to this day, grown people, even Rain that works here. She said, I used to work with your dad. Various ones who came out, you know, I want to, you know, hats off, shout out to Sally Steinwatts and, you know, everyone who worked on Swan and knew, remember when it was a household name. And that's kind of how, where my story started. My story started with my father running a non-for-profit and doing community work. And I never wanted to do politics.
Never.
I didn't want nothing to do with politics.
Really?
As a PK kid, not a politician, not a preacher's kid, but a politician's kid. As you know, most PK kids.
Now you sound like Taylor.
Most PK kids don't want nothing to do with what their parent is doing. And I didn't
Why is that?
Because you know what? I mean, my thing was, whatever we did, what we did with my dad, you know, as a little boy, as a kid, it was always revolved around community and politics.
Mm-hmm.
So as a kid, I want to do kid stuff. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to the ball game. We would go to, he was like, yeah, okay, we go to the ball game, but it'd be a fundraiser.
Right. And you got a whole bunch of other people, kids coming with you, right?
Whatever we did that might have seemed like it was fun, it was cloaked and masked in some type of community event.
Uh-huh.
So for me, I guess being selfish as a kid, you know, you want your parents to yourself. You want, you know what I mean? You don't want to share. So in the political world, you have to share your family with everybody.
Right.
And that's not all. Well, you don't, as a kid, you don't understand that. You're like, I just want time with my family and us and all that kind of stuff. So I would see how everybody would pull on my father for everything. They needed this, they needed that. And I used to be like, I don't want that. You know, I kind of just want to live my own little life, have my little job, do my little go, have my, which is what most people want. And so I didn't want anything to do with it.
Really?
Yeah.
So what was the turning point? Like, what happened to say, like, this is, I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps?
He passed. He passed. It was that real. He got sick.
Uh-huh.
He got sick with cancer.
Uh-huh.
Was given a year to live, and within 4 months he transitioned. And in that, I kid you not, I'm literally there were political meetings happening up until the day he died.
Mm-hmm.
And like that week after he passed, they were showing his name on that he had passed. And then my name appeared on his desk on TV. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and it goes, yeah, his son is going to be taking his position. I'm like, what? Like, nobody asked me. I didn't know nothing about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think as a result of just the pressure of the community, because the community felt a great, deep loss,
right,
that I was really being like, it was really like being
forced into it. And I think like that is a great point because, you know, and a lot of people try to choose our leaders for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
They try to say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to choose this person to be the, you know, the leader. But the community came and got
you. Yeah, it wasn't me. I was literally, people was like, you ain't got no choice. You're going to have, and it goes so deep. We'll get into it in the next show. It was so deep. It was during redistricting. And at the time, I didn't live in my father's district. They were going to redraw the lines and put my street in his district so that I could run. Mm. That was the conversation that was happening in the legislature at the time. And a lot of folks also don't realize the first time that I ran, I was told that if I ran for political office, I would be fired from my job.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was told if I ran.
You was a City of Rochester Fire Department.
And they it was and y'all had a law.
Y'all.
No, you wasn't the mayor at the time. It was Bill Johnson. But there was a law in the city government, in the city charter.
Really?
That said police and fire could not run, Section 8B5, I think it was.
Oh, you remember that? That was 30 years ago, right?
I still remember it to this day. That you and shout out to Todd Ballard, Attorney Todd Ballard, who was my mentor at the time, who actually, and now my father just passed. Now, we ain't going to be getting into all this, but long story short, and we'll come back to this next show. But I had to literally fight the city to get that law changed in order for police and fire were prohibited prior to me running. And as a result, and we'll get into the story later, but as a result of that fight, I became the first firefighter ever in the history of Rochester Fire Department to be elected to office, which opened up the door for others afterwards.
I never knew that.
Absolutely.
I never knew that there was a law that prevented you from, at the time, that prevented you from running.
Yeah.
And it goes back to this thing of, you know, having to fight to get to where we need to go.
Every step of the way.
Tooth and nail, right?
Every step. Had to fight to get in. Yeah. And been fighting ever since.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what that's like.
And I know you, I think you know a little something.
I know what that's like. So this is the Love and Light podcast.
Number one podcast. Hottest podcast.
Powered by 103.9 WDKX. And we are excited to have you join us for episode 4, where we talk about the things we love and shed light on the things that are happening in our community. We're not going to go off in the ditch
today.
No,
we're coming back to that, though. We're going to get back into the how, our why, our stories, on some of the things that we've gone through in these journeys, the fight that we've been through in this community, and people really don't understand how much sacrifice that has been given. But we're going to talk a little bit about that and the current climate we in. You know, people getting indicted, going to jail, the presidents, and all kind of stuff is happening.
There's a lot of things that's happening, right?
Yeah, we're going to get into it. But we thank you for listening. We keep telling us your feedback and your comments and different things and the different ideas and topics that you might have. We're going to get into the show. Comes out twice a month. And we're so grateful for Dre and his team for allowing us to do this. And once again, thank you for joining the Love and Light Podcast,
powered by 103.9 WDKX.
Peace.